From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're in the thick of election results from last week's statewide primary. Some races have attracted a lot of attention, especially for statewide offices like governor or for Congress. But some local campaigns have also been in the spotlight, including Shasta County, which has been in the news for years amid swirling conspiracy theories of voter fraud. A controversial measure on this year's ballot aims to overhaul how the county's election system runs, a move that may be in violation of state and federal law. It's currently on track to be approved by voters. But at the same time, one of the initiative's major advocates, the county's registrar of voters, the county clerk, is also losing the race for his seat. Annalise Pierce is the director and managing editor for the Shasta Scout and joins us now to break down these developments. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into the latest with these election results, just tell us about the Shasta Scout as a news organization. How did it get started?
Yeah, I founded Shasta Scout 5 years ago, mid-2021, just basically to meet a need for nonprofit, nonpartisan news in Shasta County that really goes deep and investigates.
We have talked about on the show, you know, in rural areas, you know, there can be news deserts. I mean, you live in Shasta County. I mean, were you seeing that and you wanted to help close that gap?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a legacy newspaper here that's unfortunately been shrinking. And really just a lack of in-depth news. You know, we have sort of superficial coverage that really wasn't getting to the heart of some of the deeper issues that the community is concerned about. And those include elections for sure.
Well, let's get into elections. I mean, for people that aren't as familiar with what's been going on in Shasta County, it's been a bit of a saga in recent years, probably in the last decade or so. How did we get here? What would you like people to understand about the election climate in Shasta County and how it's evolved?
Yeah, really, I think we've seen a lot of changes, particularly over the last 6 years, really starting in 2020. When we saw a lot of people develop concerns across the nation, but especially in some of these microcosms like Shasta County, where people were beginning to believe a narrative that there was fraud in the election process. And that sort of started a really significant way into the administration of elections by a long-term county clerk here, Kathy Darling Allen, who had been running elections for years, for more than a decade at that point. But suddenly came under suspicion by some members of the local community who started to become very active in observing and at times behaving in ways that were harassing or intimidating to her and her staff. And that sort of developed over the years following 2020 as well. In 2022, there was a lot of similar types of activities.
Yeah, she joined us on Insight multiple times over the years, explaining everything that was going on there from a small group, but a very vocal group. And she is no longer heading elections there. She stepped down about, 2 years ago or a year and a half?
Yeah, she stepped down about a year and a half ago because she developed a stress-related medical condition and needed to step away from her work in elections to protect her health and preserve her life for her and her family is what she said. So she stepped down midterm, and that sort of sparked a new round of you know, public debate and discourse because Kathy Darling Allen, like most elections officers, was an elected official. By stepping down midterm, she opened the door for somebody to be appointed into the role until the elections could fill someone new.
Yeah, she had been there for close to 20 years. I mean, she overseen like, I think, close to 40 elections. So let's get to this election now. I mean, we're still getting these primary election results, but the measure that we were talking about at the top of this conversation is Measure B, and that's been drawing a lot of attention during this election cycle. So what exactly would Measure B do?
Well, Measure B has been touted by proponents as bringing in voter ID. And this is a popular idea nationally. It's a popular idea in Shasta County. But the issue with Measure B is that it would do a lot more than just voter ID. It would bring in voter ID, but it would also, for example, separate Shasta County's voter rolls from the state's voter rolls, which would violate state law, which requires those voter rolls to be held at the state level. It would also change voting timelines. So it'd make voting one day, whereas we typically have voting across a period with mail-in ballots in California. Again, that's mandated by law. It would implement hand counting at the precinct. So people would actually be counting ballots as they're voted throughout the day on election day, but not releasing the results until the end. And this counting would occur by volunteers that would be selected through a lottery system. So you can see that this would have a really significant impact on pretty much every part of how an election is run. And, proponents of the measure say that's okay, that's good, because, we're a charter county, we can implement our own approach to elections. But of course, elections aren't just a local matter. They're also a state matter and a federal matter, because many of the people on our ballots are running for state and federal roles as well. So this gets really complicated really fast.
Yeah, I mean, congressional districts span multiple counties. It's not just Shasta County. Who are the main backers if there's more than one or two groups behind Measure B? How did it even get on the ballot?
Yeah, there are really five people that were the central proponents behind this measure. One of them, Laura Hobbs, has since been hired as an election staffer. And this again complicates things even further, because she's helping administer the election where Measure B is on the ballot. But these five proponents, they went through California's ballot initiative process, where they went out and asked the public to sign a petition to have this placed on the ballot. They gathered over 10,000 signatures, about 7,000 of which were verified through a random sampling method. And that's kind of how these five individuals ended up bringing something to ballots that could really potentially change Shasta's elections in the future.
So where does the vote stand today?
I think at the last count, Measure B had about 55% of the vote, yes. So it looks like, and it's consistently remained, successful really since vote totals first started coming out. It looks very much like this is going to pass in Shasta.
You mentioned that this goes against existing state law. So has there already been talk about a lawsuit or challenging this if it does get passed by voters?
Well, there's actually already been multiple legal actions against the measure. The very first legal pushback came from the county's own attorney when the initiative wording was submitted to the county with a request to begin circulating it among voters for signage. The county attorney said, I don't feel good about this. I don't think that this complies with state law. That was pushed back by a judge, just saying, take the next step. And I think, as we've watched subsequent legal challenges to this measure saying this would not comply with state law, it should not be placed on the ballot, what I've seen judges in Shasta County say is, let's let the voters decide if they want it on the ballot. And then, if you have a legal challenge, bring it then.
Okay. Well, one of the main backers of Measure B is the county's clerk and registrar of voters, Clint Curtis. Tell us who he is. How did he come to Shasta County? Is he a longtime resident?
No, he's not a longtime resident. He was actually appointed here straight from Florida, where he has been living. He's an attorney who has been interested in elections for a long time, but has never before run an election or worked in an election office. He was appointed by a narrow majority of the county board last spring amid a really controversial series of public interviews. And interestingly enough, he's still driving a truck around town with his signs on it that still has Florida plates. And I think that, in a way, is sort of, the epitome of how some of the public feels. This outsider is coming in to change our elections, who hasn't even really fully become a resident in their minds.
What does that say about Shasta County? I mean, in this national spotlight where you have someone who lives on the other side of the country that's willing to play a big role in how elections are conducted in Shasta County.
I think it's a really unique situation, because the board majority that appointed Curtis, they're all about local control. That's why they passed, or why they placed on the ballot, a measure to become a charter county at the last, at the former elections. They want local control, and yet they've brought this person in who's not local, who's an outsider, who registered to vote, just days before being appointed, and an election activist address. So They've said they want local control, but they've also said that they want statewide impact. They want to do something in Shasta that will be copied elsewhere, that will be seen as a model for the state and the nation. And that's what they hoped Curtis would provide them.
Does he have any experience or background administering elections?
No, November was the first election he had ever run. So he has no hands-on experience. He was selected, against others who all had hands-on experience. So this was really quite a bold move by our board majority.
Okay, well, since he was appointed last year, what kind of changes has he made to how Shasta County runs its elections?
Well, he has done a number of things. So first of all, he's done a big reorganization of the office itself. The elections office is in a rented building downtown. And the major change is that he's kind of moved all the ballot processing to the downstairs area and created this observer room that's decked out in red, white, and blue bunting, where he hopes observers will feel welcome, where he has cookies and water. This was one of the major complaints by election activists under Darling Allen and Mr. Toller and Francesket, who previously ran the office, saying, we don't feel welcome. We don't feel like you want us here. So he tried to create this room where he made people feel welcome. He also put up monitors across that room because he began filming all of the process of basically running the votes through machines. So before they go into the machine and after they go into the machine for vote counting, he just has some people flipping over the ballots to show them to a camera, ostensibly to provide more transparency to the public. Although analysis by our reporting team shows this is next to impossible for the public to actually sort through and determine anything from. He also eliminated the majority of Shasta County's ballot drop boxes. He does not feel ballot drop boxes are secure. So he took us down to just four ballot drop boxes across our rural county, which is the legal minimum. He's done a number of other things too, eliminating electronic poll pads, which is a verification method that speeds access at the polls, but he feels is open to security issues. He's also had a lot of pushback on the press, some things like that.
What has the reaction been like from the community? I mean, I would think by reducing ballot drop boxes, it makes it harder to vote in a rural county where what if accessibility is an issue?
Yeah, I would say overall, there's been a lot of concern and a lot of confusion about some of the changes. A lot of folks in Shasta County might have an idea just from watching Fox News or, whatever kind of media exposure they've had that they don't like voting machines. But when it comes right down to it, they liked going into the polling places, sticking their ballot into the tabulator, and hearing that ding when the vote was counted and their ballot had been accepted. That doesn't exist anymore because of changes made by our county board. And that's been one of the most interesting kind of pushbacks for me from conservative community members, is that made them feel that their vote was secure. So I think it's really important to remember that elections is both about process, but it's also about optics. It's about how the voter feels and whether they feel safe and secure when they come to cast their vote. And I would say overall, we haven't seen improvements there.
Oh, that's such a good point. How was election night?
Election day was fascinating. I think overall, a lot of the prior observers who were angry under, say, Darling Allen, most of them have been hired by Mr. Curtis, either as full-time election staffers or part-time temporary election staffers. So he says, look, you don't see these people mad anymore. But there's a whole nother group who is now more concerned that's also showing up. And there are some issues with training for these temporary staffers. I mean, I watched a temporary election staffer waiting outside for ballot delivery deploy a stun gun just to show off to his buddies. This is really an unprecedented kind of action for an employee staffer to take. It prompted me to report it to several people because I was concerned about safety, both for myself and others. So I think these are some of the things we're kind of seeing arise. Overall, vote counting was delayed on election night. There was a new system integrated by Mr. Curtis called poll closers that a lot of poll workers said extended the process longer. We ended up getting final results around 3:30 a.m., which is not unheard of, but it's also not particularly fast.
Okay, I mean, I want to hinge on that stun gun for a moment. I mean, that's a weapon. What are the rules? I mean, is that okay? Can you like have a stun gun as a election staffer or a weapon?
So I think it's a really interesting question. You know, it's a question that for myself as a journalist, you know, I was really trying to process in real time on the ground. You know, we're normally trying to stay in observation mode, document. We don't report to the police. We don't report to another election official. You know, we just watch and document and write for the public. But, you know, I really was in a position of wondering, you know, who do I need to report this to make sure nothing bad happens tonight? This person is walking in and out of the elections office with a weapon. It seems from reporting CalMatters picked the story up, you know, that right now this is a little bit of a gap in law. And I believe there is a legislator who's interested in pursuing new legislation based on this incident, because the threat of violence can come in election spaces, not only from members of the public towards election staff, but as we've seen in this scenario, perhaps an untrained staffer, you know, doing something that isn't safe for the public as well.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Annalise Pierce from the Shasta Scout about primary election results out of Shasta County, including the controversial voting reform initiative called Measure B. Okay, Measure B is currently leading with voters as of this morning. Let's get into Curtis. He's also running in the primary. What do results look like for his reelection potentially?
Curtis is failing very, very significantly. I think Franciscan, as of last count, had about 59% of the vote. I talked to Mr. Curtis yesterday. He seemed resigned to the idea that Joanna Franciscan, the assistant, former assistant registrar of voters that he terminated when she worked for him, is likely to beat him out in this race. And he kind of told me, I think actually it was on election night, and I asked him how he was feeling as he looked through the results, and he said, well, we've shown what can be done. Maybe they don't want it in Shasta, but I'm sure they want it somewhere.
Oh, okay. Let's learn about Francesca. So that's Joanna Francesca. She's worked with the elections office for many years, right, alongside Kathy Darling Allen. And as you mentioned, Curtis dismissed her from her role when he took office.
Yes, Joanna Francesca has worked for the Shasta Elections Office she had worked for 17 years when she was let go last spring, just a few days after Mr. Curtis took on the new role. And she'd worked under Kathy Darling Allen, but she'd also worked under Tom Toller, who was the first person to hold the position after Darling Allen stepped down. And then she'd also just run the office on her own for about 6 months while Darling Allen was experiencing the medical concerns but hadn't yet resigned. So she has really significant experience in this role, and she's a long-term Shasta County resident. And I think as a result of that, there's been a tremendous amount of support for her.
Does she have a position on Measure B?
She does not have a position on Measure B. I think one of the most important things about Francesca's campaign is that she is firmly committed to nonpartisanship. She says she, of course, like everyone, has political opinions, but does not believe a registrar of voters should ever express those in a public setting. So she has never come out for or against Measure B or any other topic or candidate on ballots.
Finally, Annalise, what will you be looking for as things move forward? It's still very much in flux.
Well, we're certainly watching for a potential legal challenge to Measure B. I think that's likely to come after results are certified, when a judge is more likely to take such a challenge seriously based on their past rulings. I'm also just watching how Curtis thinks he can implement Measure B. For one of the prior court cases, he submitted a declaration explaining how he would implement it legally under state and federal laws. It's a bit of a complex process that he's sort of envisioning to, you know, maintain two sets of voter rolls and to tabulate votes, but also hand count votes. So I'll be watching with great interest, because even with Francesca leading for county clerk, we still have Mr. Curtis administering the November election before his term ends. So we certainly will have an interesting fall.
Annalise, thank you so much for joining us with your reporting.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Annalise Pierce is the director and managing editor of the Shasta Scout. We've been talking about primary election results so far out of Shasta County, including one for the controversial voting reform initiative called Measure B, which is on track to be approved by voters. Up next, artists have been a driving cultural and economic force in California for decades, but public funding has remained relatively stagnant. We'll hear from creatives who are calling for a one-time increase in this year's state budget. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.